My name is Bill Howe. I am 34 years old. I've been a member of Men's Meeting for 2.5-3 years.
I am Ginny Hutchison, also a member of Meeting, of approximately over 21 age. Actually turned 55 last week, and have been a member of Meeting since mid-1970s. And we are sitting here with Ellen Hollander in the George Selleck Room, and it is April 27, 1984. Ellen, can you identify yourself?
Yeah, I am Ellen Hollander, and I am now the administrative secretary of the Meeting, but I started as the office secretary in 1947.
Ellen, I'm very curious because I didn't know you when you first came to Meeting. I wasn't here. Can you tell us about how you got here? Your arrival, job finding, your sense of what the Meeting was about, those early years. So begin, if you will, for me, with a bit of your own personal history.
I came to this country in 1947 after 8 years in Shanghai.
Berlin to Shanghai.
Berlin to Shanghai.
With much of your family?
Yeah, I had to leave school just before my Abitur, that's graduation, in 1938. We left for Shanghai in 1939.
Is that college or high school?
There was Gymnasium, Oberprima. I think it's more than high school.
And the upper...
You see, I could have go on studying mathematics, what I would have liked to do, right from there, so... The next step would have been university. But we had to go to Shanghai, and I had different jobs there.
It was your mother and
my parents and my sister.
Your parents and your sister.
And, and my father died in Shanghai of leukemia, which I think came out faster than it would have in a better climate. I think it has something to do with that. Intensive sun and things like this, which brought it out with the intensive heat that we were not used to. So my mother and I came to this country in July 1947. My sister got married in Shanghai, and her husband was from Austria, so they had to wait for the Austrian quota, while we were under the German quota. And that was easier. When we came to, we had to go to the consul, of course, to get in. We had a very small affidavit from a cousin here who had sickness in her family, her children, and so she spent most of her resources for that, and so it was really a very small affidavit. Okay. But the consul was very nice, and he said, with your abilities or so, you will make it. And so my mother did some knitting in Shanghai and all kinds of crafts. And of course I worked as a secretary. And I worked at an insurance company for a short while. That was before the war started in... In Berlin. I was at school.
No.
I was kicked out of school in November 9th. And then
why were you kicked out?
Well, because I was Jewish, and then, there was a day when they burned all the synagogues. And although I was in a very good school, and should I say, I had very nice teachers, one teacher, my French teacher, wrote me anonymous letters, and I found out later out that she was a friend, surprising. And when I had to leave school, one classmate of mine was Hella Reuter, who was the daughter of Ernst Reuter, who became the mayor of Berlin. He was before the Hitler regime. He was a mayor of Magdeburg, German city. And then he went to Turkey. She stayed in Berlin and finished her education. And then she went to her father. She came, my first connections with friends were... Besides the fact that I had heard about Quaker feeding, but I was too young for that, and which they had it in schools, of course, in, after the First World War. But Hella Reuter came to our house after they told me I had to leave the school. She said she took me to the friends in Berlin, because I had no idea about friends worship or anything. And mm-hmm. I was waiting. There were some English ladies there, but I was waiting for the meeting to begin until. And she was not the talkative kind, so she left me in the dark.
She didn't explain.
She didn't yeah. explain. And then she also, I think she took me to a youth group there. But I didn't go very often because we left and we had the preparations too. So
was it difficult to get out?
Yes, it certainly was, although yes. we could take more than we had our lives, which was one thing.
Did everyone want to leave?
Yes, of course, everyone wanted to leave, but you didn't have a possibility. You see, you got some, maybe somebody told you, we had some, I don't know, connection or so, when they said, oh, you can get a visa to go to Belgium, and then it turned out it didn't. You were hoping, okay, that would be good. And then it turned out it just wasn't so, there was some. And in a way, it was good we did not go to Belgium.
Right. How do you make the jump so to Shanghai?
Shanghai was, at this point, the only place where you could go without a visa. We had an affidavit already before the war, but our quota, our number was too low, so there was no way of waiting for that. Mm-hmm. And so Shanghai was really the only place where you could go. And that was only because there was this war between the Japanese and the Chinese, and really there was no, one didn't know who was in power there. Mm-hmm. And because of that, later on, you needed a Japanese visa or something. But we just got in.
How did you travel?
We traveled from Berlin by train to Trieste. And when we came to the border, we really had never experienced any direct anti-Semitism, maybe. But when we came to the border, the officials there, they said, oh, there you can wait here. We have to search your luggage. And there are enough trains to go to then Palestine or Shanghai. So they just delayed us, and the train went with, we had the sleeper there, but the train just left. And so we then had to take a local train and arrived in Trieste, I think, at 3 o'clock at night.
And it was not necessary.
It certainly wasn't necessary, yeah. But these things.
So from Trieste you went over Asia?
No, we went then by boat, Italian boat. And so we had a very nice voyage, really. And, then we arrived in Shanghai when it was the end of the...
And you were there all during the war years.
Yeah.
And you could get part-time jobs.
No, I had full-time. I mean, I had to learn first. I went to a... to an English secretarial school.
And you learned both English.
And I learned English. I had learned at school, of course. I had about 10 years of mm-hmm. English. So, of course, I mean, I could write and read and write, but of course the conversation is a problem, and also the understanding mm-hmm. the language. Mm-hmm. If people
sure.
talk fast,
sure.
that's, we didn't do that at school enough.
So how did you end up here?
Then after the war, yeah, we came in July. I mean, after we got the visa, then we start out. And my brother-in-law had a sister here in Boston. My mother would have liked to stay in San Francisco. but she liked him, so I was more eager to get to a more European landscape with tall trees and, I don't know, San Francisco. It didn't appeal to me that much. It was very nice, but...
So you ended up...
So we came Boston, here, and yeah. We were looking for... I was looking for a job. My brother-in-law's sister, we met her, although they came in. They have a place in summer place. She was living with a friend of hers, and they have a summer place in Annisquam. But she came in when she heard we were... Although, we didn't know her. And she was at the Bremer and May School in Boston. Mm-hmm. And Florence Selleck's sister was a teacher at the Bremer and May School. And Florence Selleck quite often substituted for her sister because she wasn't well trained. And so they knew each other. And Martha thought that maybe the friends could help me find a job. That was, I think, her idea. So we came and talked to George Selleck in July, and I remember that he called somebody, must have been some of the members who were connected with DuPont, I think, and he thought maybe I could get a job there. I didn't like the idea for working for a big company with all my limitations. And so then I got, for a short while, I got a job with a construction company. I was too scared in a way. Of course, too green, I didn't know what was what. So I gave that up. Also, I think the secretary under whom I worked had somebody else she wanted to get into. I don't know, George Selleck called me and said I should come for a day to, maybe he wanted to try and see what I could do. Mm-hmm. And he gave me some work, and then he left. And I know I had some things to type, and then he gave me a pile of cards, and I don't remember what he wanted to do with them, have done with them. Anyway, they had some Harvard and some Swarthmore and some this and that, and I didn't know what that all meant. And so I was sitting there worrying what to do. And then Myra Hill came from the clothing room. I couldn't even call my mother at this point because we didn't have a telephone and we were in a furnished room. And so she then calmed me down and said, oh, it's not so important, and just go home and things will work out. So they did work out, and I started here on the 3rd of November. Their secretary, who had been here for a long time and seemed to know everything, was pregnant, and she had been here exactly 10 months after the head afterwards, so for me at that point it was a long, long time. Her name is Joan Chevalier. She had come in a few times while I was here, wondering that I was still here, and she had a family of 4 children who were about married or were going to be married. So that was in the course of my stay here.
I was confused by your story of George Selleck, who left you alone that first day and never came back.
I really don't know. Maybe I didn't understand what he said, that he said maybe you can go home at 5 o'clock or so.
Oh, I see. You were still around late.
But it was late, and I was worried my mother would be wondering where am I and all these things. So I remember
you
that.
Have very vivid memories of the first day, I would say.
Yeah.
So you came on very soon after that as a full-time person here.
It's all very, I mean, I see it from my point of view, and of course the people there, they were all, I was very shy, and they all were weighty friends, older friends, maybe. I had maybe more contact with older friends.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they were the nucleus, I mean, mm-hmm. more than it's today.
There was more there of a backbone.
Yeah, and even the attenders, I mean, I know that, speaking of finances, the attenders just weren't asked if they could contribute anything, or they weren't, it would be something very special if they did. So the meeting and also the financial contributions were much smaller, I mean, much more, this small circle
supported
the meeting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And only later.
Ellen, if you were to describe your job to someone, could you list the five most important or crucial things that your office, that you handle through your office? I know
at the moment.
Bulletin. Now, and then let's think back. What were the five most important that you...
At the moment, it's the bulletin and the finances.
Because you run all the books.
Yeah.
Address
lists. I don't know, the... Yeah,
keeping
yeah.
current.
Yes, the mailing list.
Mailing list. And all
and
the interruptions on the
telephone. And of course, all the things that go with the minutes and packets for marriage committee and,
mm-hmm.
and I mean those things for different committees, the material for different
each
committees.
Each committee has its demands of you, and you're the funnel.
Yeah. And then, of course, the pamphlet
mm-hmm.
ordering and taking care of.
So it's really a myriad of many, many things.
Yeah, that's what
was
makes
it like
the place.
That in the beginning, when you first came?
No, the finances were done by the treasurer outside of the meeting.
Uh-huh. There was a hired treasurer?
No, that was one of
member.
The members.
Yeah.
And I remember, for instance, we had Edward Wood, who was at Harvard, and his secretary, I think, did the work there.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Don't you wish she still had it?
No, I'd like that.
Good.
But then, at that point, I did the yearly meeting work, you see, we did that.
Okay.
And we did the New England Friend.
And it came through your,
and
over
we
your
had
desk?
To, but of course I just typed what they gave me with a bulletin now. Fortunately, I am more on my own.
Was there a bulletin then?
Oh, yeah. Friend's bulletin, mm-hmm. since, I think, 1926 or something.
Yes.
No. We still have some.
Is there a copy of every bulletin that's gone out?
Should be. Yeah.
So there's your history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was before 1930. We could look that up. But I like my job much better now than I did then.
Why?
Because I like figures better than typing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to have something. I mean, it's more interesting, of course.
You like the finance and the math and balancing books more than typing everybody's minutes.
Oh, exactly.
How
has the computer changed things?
When did the computer come in? When?
A year ago.
Yeah.
But then we only started, I think, in August of 82, was it?
Yeah, about a year and a half ago.
A year and a half ago. Yeah. At that point, we had to do both things, more or less. I mean, I had to learn and at the same time do the other. So that was a little difficult, but I think Arthur Penner was really amazing.
To help you get going. Mm-hmm. How has it changed your life in the office?
It's much easier.
Good. It's supposed to make
all
it
this, all this, the boring details, if you have to write a letter 20 times.
Mm-hmm. It's all there.
Then you have it there and you just put in the other names, and of course the mail, the directory. Mm-hmm. You see.
Have you enjoyed using the computer? Is that?
Yeah.
Has that been fun to learn?
Yes, I like it. I want to learn more. Uh-huh. At this point, I don't know if I can, but and I don't know if it will be useful for the office if I learn more, but I would like to learn more for myself.
Mm-hmm. Ellen, can you tell us about the weighty friends who were first around this nucleus that isn't quite here in the same way now? Who were these?
Who were they?
I mean, George Selleck would have been one.
And Chester Smith.
Yes.
Gertrude Smith. Spencer and Mary Cox. I don't remember
meeting.
Their son was in China, I think. He was worked with the American Foreign Service Committee, and he was in Philadelphia. But they lived here. And they were very, very good friends. I knew these Esther Moss, of course, and I knew these people from the Wednesday Guild.
What's
from
that?
The sewing group.
Oh, that was the early.
There was a group
clothing
that.
Room.
No, they were different from the clothing room. They were the ones who didn't want to work underground. They were always. They were always a little. There was some feeling about that, and also they worked on new clothing, while the clothing room, of course, got the old clothes. And there was Nellie Strong, who wasn't even a friend, who did cut the material.
And they
then
made
the others,
new things.
They made new things. They had at least one sewing machine. They had all their supplies were in the closet up here, and every Wednesday morning they came about 10 o'clock.
Where did they send
And these they worked
clothes?
In the They sent a two to Philadelphia, and at some first I think they sent it by themselves, and then afterwards they sent it through their clothing room, and there was the Hardys, for instance, Grace and Irvin Hardy.
That name is familiar.
Yeah, yes. Grace.
Are you related to Helen?
No, he was a dentist in. At Tufts, I think. Mm-hmm. Lisa knows more about them. He helped during the war. I don't know what to know. And of course, the Cadburys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Winslows. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Emma and Edwards Winslow.
You speak of them as being weighty friends.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
That's fine.
How I felt about them. I mean, I wouldn't have. Their word was for me.
Final.
Final. Yeah.
Their
so
presence was
George
was,
Selleck. I mean,
their presence was. Felt.
They were the teachers.
Yeah.
And
you did not see or hear as much from younger people.
When I came in, there was very little of a young group, and they tried to attract more young people.
Very different.
Yeah, in fact, I remember that they had a meeting some Wednesday afternoon or so, and two people came. And I remember that I was invited to make it three, maybe. So it was really, I think that was known, and when Harold Hadley came, period?
No.
Oh, the Seleks went to Finland in 1949, I think, or 48, and it for about 2 years, and for the service committee.
I see.
Oh,
and so
now
I'm
And at that time, Harold Hadley and his wife Shirley came. And Harold Hadley is the brother of Herbert Hadley, who was the Friends World Committee. He was quite active friends. And Harold, I think their I think he was born in Alaska. His father, I think, was a missionary, a French missionary in Alaska. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they heard, and Shirley Hadley came, they were just married not that long ago, and while they were here, Martha Jean was born. And I remember having Martha Jean in the playpen in the office, having to watch her while the Hadleys went out sometime. And Martha Jean, of course, is, I think she's married, and she, her brother's married, I think.
So that couple filled in.
So they were here for, and Harold and Shirley were very active with young people.
Mm-hmm. And so more came.
I think, I can't believe it now, but I think I had a mailing list of 200 or 300 young people. Not that they all
came,
but we had that list, and at that point we had, there was a Longfellow log, and I still have copies, that the young people, I think every month they had a little newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
They had posters that in all the dormitories, and they had little things that they put in there telling about the programs, and they had the program every Sunday night, and all these things I still have in my file.
So this came really along with this younger couple.
And I think that Harold Hadley, I read that later somewhere, maybe in George Shelley's book, that,
mm-hmm.
that they thought that Harold Hadley would specially work on that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, quite a
mailing list,
about 50 or 60, I think.
A mailing list of 200 or 300 young people.
Yeah.
What do we have now?
Well, we don't have any. You see, the point is that
these
now...
These were college.
Yeah, they were all college. Yeah.
Seems to me Eric Johnson was part of that group. I just read about this.
Yeah.
Well, no matter.
Uh-huh. But, of course, now you don't make these separations of ages at all.
We have first day school mailings.
Yeah.
And yet it's not a youth group in the same way.
And you see, over the years you had a young adult group and a mother's group, couples group. So this is different now. Mm-hmm. There is no...
Now you have
the women and women's group, maybe.
Yes, yes.
It's different. But of course, after, quite a while after Harold Hadley was here, then... when the Selleck's came back, and Ruth Hook, did anybody speak about Ruth Hook, was in charge of young people and first day school. She then...
She was responsible
yes.
for that.
Yes.
And it kept going for a while. When did that stop, being that young people's type? With the war? World War II?
Mm-mm. Yeah, no. It was
the
end of the Selleck's
uh-huh.
term, maybe in 64. Although, Alma Brown, of course.
For how many?
14 years, I think.
Selleck
lived in 64, from about 36 to 64, so 28 years, something like this.
Goodly space of time.
When did the number of young members of my age, 20s and 30s, increase? Because there are more now than there were.
I wouldn't know. I mean, they weren't that obvious. As I say, of course, you probably remember the older members more, and I saw more of them, just because the younger people came here in the evening or so, and I wasn't here, so... So I had more contact with older.
And the committee.
And committee
clerks
yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
How would you describe George Selleck to someone who had not met him? Bill does not know George. Because you worked for him.
He was
many
very
years.
Quiet. Yes, very quiet. But he was not an easy teacher. He knew exactly what he wanted, and as I say, with all the people there, they had their ideas, and of course times have changed. Any employer, I think, now would give his employee more
leeway
than we had then. Then you had to follow the instructions. But I mean, it was good, and I, for my early schooling and everything, I was used to that, you know, from the German schools who...
authoritarian.
Right. And in Shanghai, the school that I, the secretarial school, had Mrs. was an elderly English lady, just about was that type of person. She would say, rubbish!
You didn't get away with anything, did you?
But, I mean, I learned a lot.
Mm-hmm. She taught many years, didn't she?
Yeah, but she also she had quite an influence on me.
She was a presence here.
Yeah. Very gentle. He was great. He knew I collected stamps, so... He urged me to bring my stamps in, and he looked at them, and he bought me stamps, and he wouldn't forget these things. He was really, I think he had more confidence in me than some others.
From the beginning days?
I remember that he would say, okay, you write the outline of the minutes. I mean, that was usually the same. It wasn't that hard, but he gave me a little more.
He is somebody that will describe with a lot of respect. I've never heard him focus on his gentleness.
No? Well, that's interesting.
People who are such a legendary sense of humor, his ability to laugh and say things.
But you see, he would. He knew me as a person. That, I mean, I wouldn't say that George Selig didn't.
But he was your employer.
That was different, right.
Came in a different category.
Yes. I would say
makes
so.
A difference. Yeah.
It certainly does.
Are you involved at all in meeting yourself, responding to Quaker ideas or practices?
What I like about the job is that persons.
Whom you deal with.
Yes. And also the ideals that I can understand and support it.
Was there a time when you attended meetings? Or
no, I...
You separate your job from your...
I mean, I was never very religious. But on the other hand, I like the basic of Judaism and and also knowing that my family many of my relatives had to suffer because of their religion, I would feel that I should not abandon this.